Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today, our guest is controversial Allison Weir. She is the publisher of the website If Americans Knew. She's a Palestinian rights activist and is the author of the book Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with this week's guest, Allison Weir. Allison Weir, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's great to finally be talking to you. So, Allison, I'm pretty sure my listeners are probably well acquainted with your work, but in case there's somebody out there who's not, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the major thrust of your activism?
Sure, I'd be glad to, and I'll just try to do it very quickly. Mm-hmm. But I like to emphasize that really much like most Americans, I knew very little about this issue 15 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, I had never focused on it. I'm not from the Middle East. I don't happen to be Jewish. And I really didn't know much about it. I was sympathetic towards Israel, as I think we all are. But then I got curious about it when the Second Intifada began in fall of 2000. I began to look into the coverage just so I would be knowledgeable about it, try to learn about Israel-Palestine. And my background is journalism. I noticed how one-sided the coverage was.
Mm-hmm.
That's not unusual, but I was really wanted the full picture. So I used the internet to try to find out the full picture. Discovered a lot of sources in the Middle East itself, especially Palestinian and Israeli media. Was shocked at the facts that I found, how many people were being shot by Israeli forces, unarmed demonstrators, including many, many children, many being killed, huge numbers being injured, far different than what I was seeing on the San Francisco Chronicle, the New York Times, and listening to on NPR. So after a few months of really starting to look into this more and more, I decided to quit my job. At that time, I was the editor of a very, very small weekly newspaper in Northern California. So I quit that job and traveled over to the West Bank and Gaza in early 2001 as a freelance reporter, just by myself. This was not part of a delegation. It was before ISM and some of those other things that are doing, trips now. And I just saw such tragedy and such violence. And by that time was aware that it was my tax money that was funding it, making every single American responsible
right, for
what I was seeing. So when I came back, I started an organization called If Americans Knew, just to tell everybody I possibly could the facts about this issue. It's not ideological. It's not partisan. It's not, based on any particular ethnicity or religion. It's just really to try to give everybody the facts on this issue, because we're all paying for it. We're all responsible.
Well, so were you surprised by the attacks of other Palestinian rights organization all of a sudden calling you anti-Semitic? I know it's not all of a sudden. I know I've been called anti-Semitic, and this isn't even really the major thrust. I am in for Palestinian rights and against what Israel does to the Palestinian people, of course. So, I mean, one of the first attacks that got leveled against me when I started being an activist was anti-Semite. But were you surprised at where they were coming from?
Well, early on, I was surprised. As you noted, this has actually been going on really very much from the beginning of my activism.
Mm-hmm.
There have been recent attacks in the last few months that give various pretexts for the attacks, all of which I've answered really in quite a bit of detail. But it was admitted even by, you know, the group that most instigated the attacks against me is an organization called Jewish Voice for Peace.
Right.
Which contains many really committed activists,
right.
You know, friends of mine. So I'm certainly not, you know, when I say JVP, I just mean a small section of the leadership and, you know, some of the members. But they actually, from the very beginning of when I started If Americans Knew, had whispering campaigns against me that I was, quote, anti-Semitic, that people should not work with me. For 14 years, they've, you know, secretly been maligning me. And, you know, I was shocked at that. I didn't expect it. You know, I was even shocked, actually, when Israel Partisans called me anti-Semitic, because I was talking about Israel. This wasn't, you know, a slur against all Jewish Americans at all.
Right.
But then, you know, I've now learned, as you have, that as soon as you say anything critical of Israel, you're called anti-Semitic. But to have people, supposedly Palestine solidarity activists, do this was shocking to me at first. But I think I fairly quickly understood that many of them, especially at that time, but many still, were not fully in favor of Palestinian human rights. You know, they were against the worst violence in the occupied territories.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Israel, based on ethnic cleansing, that discriminates against its entire non-Jewish population, is discriminated against. The fact that this was the plan from the very beginning. A lot of the people that are opposed to the occupation haven't gone all the way yet to just fully give Palestinians the full rights that everybody else on earth should have. The right of refugees to return home. You know, that was off the table for many of these people. It
mm-hmm.
still is. You know, so I after a while I realized, well, you know, many are Jewish Americans. They've grown up very pro-Israel. They have families that are pro-Israel. Often they have relatives there. And I can understand from a human viewpoint, it's hard. It's very wrenching to go against what you've been taught, to go against what your family and your parents believe, for example, and your grandparents. That can be very difficult. So I understand that, and I sympathize with it. What I don't sympathize with is they're then, you know, because of that, attacking other people and trying to prevent other people from giving the full facts. To me, that's
right.
That's wrong and inappropriate, and I think that's what's been going on from the beginning. And then when my book was published last year, it definitely escalated.
Right.
My book contains a lot of information about the Israel lobby, which they also, for the most part, were trying to fairly much hide. You know, you weren't supposed to talk about the lobby. You weren't supposed to talk about the Israel Partisans. Very clear, very significant connection to the attack on Iraq and now on Iran. You weren't supposed to be saying those things. And yet I was, because that's where the facts are, and people need to know the facts. I don't like to take part in cover-ups.
Right.
You know, that everybody has the right to the information. I, you know, some people are very elitist, and they think, well, it's okay for me to know this and for some of us to know it, but no, we can't let everybody else know this. And that's not my approach. So I think the book that tells about the history of Zionism and the Israel lobby in this country contains a lot of very shocking information to me, too. You know, very astonishing information. And I think when the book came out, then there was definitely an escalation of defaming me and trying to block my speeches because, you know, they don't want people to read the book and to learn the information that it contains.
Was there like a specific incident besides just the escalation of attacks, your, you know, publishing of the book, and, you know, we can talk about that more so people can know where they can find it and things like that. Was there something where Jewish Voices for Peace, like, very publicly called you out? But you have gotten a lot of support, including myself, who signed the letter in support of you. Was there, like, something specific that occurred that they finally just like, well, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, thank you so much for your support. Really, it's been wonderful.
Absolutely.
I think it's such a shame to have this kind of divisive activity going on, because JP has done a great deal of excellent work. And even I knew there was this hesitation that there are many Zionists who are within JVP. They acknowledge that. You know, I still felt they were doing valuable work, and I never, ever tried to block any of their speeches.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, happily, a huge number of people have supported me and If Americans Knew. And ultimately, I think it's pretty clear we've gotten much more support than they have. But anyway, as far as what specifically caused this, I think I don't know of a specific incident that caused it to escalate, but what was going on, I do think it's very related to the book, and many other people independently have come to that conclusion. Because I was going to be going on a book tour, and we've been sending out announcements that I'll be doing talks, and anybody else in the area that wants to invite me to give a talk in their area, we're hoping that will happen.
Right.
And then we were hearing back from people that they had been told by Jewish Voice for Peace. In fact, someone specifically told me that JVP had told them that I, quote, worked with David Duke.
Ugh.
You know, this is completely absurd.
Mm-hmm.
There is no foundation for it whatsoever. But that's what they were telling people. You know, I was so shocked to hear that I finally realized, okay, you know, I know this has been going on for all these years, but this is just going too far. And, you know, you don't want to put out a statement if, you know, I was hoping, well, maybe it's not true. So I sent an email to JVP leaders saying, you know, I've been told that you're telling this to people. Is that true? And, you know, at first I didn't hear anything back. Then I think, you know, several hours later, maybe the next day, I sent another email to the same group of leaders. I think I added even in a few more people and said, you know, I'm still waiting for a response.
Mm-hmm.
Are you telling people this falsehood? And so then, you know, I tried to initiate a conversation with them about this. But in response, what they ended up doing was sending out an email to their chapters all over the country, condemning me with a lot of accusations against me, all of which are untrue. And, you know, so at that point, this was going out to, I believe they have 60 chapters, as I recall. You know, each chapter has, you know, from a very small number of people to maybe a few dozen.
Right.
So this at that point became a very public attack with very serious defamatory accusations against me. So, even before that time, we wrote a statement calling, please help us overcome the accusations against If Americans Knew. This was before we got this real response from JVP. And we thought, well, you know, we have to put out, this is going on, but we didn't want to name names. We didn't want to, you know, cause a huge division, but we wanted to put out the accurate information about us. So when somebody in Kansas or somewhere would hear things like, I, quote, work with David Duke,
right,
be answered there. So we did that, hoping that would sort of end it, you know, that they would realize that, because we basically rebutted their claim, you know, the claims that were being made. But unfortunately, it didn't end it. So then they put out an actual, you know, email about me with specific accusations, you know, very nasty, malicious, McCarthyite types of accusations, and we then answered that. And, you know, several times, this has been, in some ways, I was considering it a great waste of time, because I have several articles I'm working on.
Yes.
Working on another book. We put boards around the country. But it was necessary to do this because they were defaming us and attempting to block our information from getting to the public. So we responded with detail to that, and we already then started getting a great deal of support from many people. Then the next thing that came along is the, quote, U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation. This is a nonprofit organization that was formed quite a few years ago, after we were, but, you know, probably a dozen years ago. And it's trying to be an umbrella organization. It basically wants to be the leader of the whole movement. It has many sectors of the movement that have never worked with this organization because it was clearly right in its name when it said to end the Israeli occupation. When you work on this issue, you already realize it's not just the occupation. That's as though you're saying, well, South Africa is fine. It's only if it expanded that we would oppose the expansion.
Right.
You know, Israel was created to be and is a discriminatory state. Palestinians, people of, you know, all backgrounds have the right to return to their homes, just like all refugees do. So the name of their organization already sort of gave away that it was overly mild to most of us, and a little bit trying to cover up the root cause of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But anyway, you know, it has also done very much good work. We've been a member of it from the beginning because it does, you know, it has done a great deal of good work. There are many good people that have become involved in it and go to the conferences. But anyway, so after JVP made their accusations against us, which we pretty much rebutted, you know, so if these were mistakes that was clarified,
right,
anybody that looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, out of the blue, well, actually not entirely out of the blue. This was after we had, as members of the U.S. campaign, we had, you know, reserved a table at their upcoming conference where we would be able to give out the materials that we create and also my book, that would be available to people at the conference. So then suddenly, out of the blue, they suddenly send us this long document. Really, it's a, you know, like an inquisition.
Oh, no.
With all of these, you know, why do you beat your children and when did you start and,
right,
and when did you stop kind of supposed questions. So, you know, again, we made that public because I don't believe in backroom deals.
Right.
It was the leadership of something that portrays itself, even though this isn't really completely true, but it portrays itself as a coalition of something like 400 groups. They were doing this in the name of 400 groups. So, you know, there's no way they have all the emails. We don't. So we just made a public, you know, made this public. Here's their interrogation of us, and here are our responses. And again, we went through it in great detail and gave a response to every one of them. Then, despite that, they then, no surprise here, sort of a kangaroo court. By the way, all of these actions are very much, very similar to what Israel partisans do.
You know, oh, yeah, sure.
That, you know, the same type of thing, call you anti-Semitic, take things out of context, misrepresentation, guilt through supposed association, that type of thing, kangaroo courts. So, you know, they have all these accusations against us. Supposedly a member organization had filed a complaint against us, but that was kept secret who it was. You know, even the U.S. system, you're allowed to confront your accusers. That's a fundamental right of anybody. And the campaign, you know, didn't even pretend to go along with that. So then they excommunicated us. They expelled us from their organization. And now we've put out a new, you know, yet one more document going through each. It's a their expulsion of us is a very, very long document. Much of it is repetitive, redundant, and so we, you know, again, I had said when it came out, okay, we'll do a point-by-point response. Even before we did that, other people, many people I've actually had never met and have still never met, came forward and just said, this is absurd, and wrote excellent defenses of us. They looked into the accusations themselves.
Right.
Some JVP members did this. Many U.S. campaign members did this, looked into the accusations themselves, and wrote very strong statements and articles saying this is nonsense. You know, here are the real facts. So, you know, it's been a bizarre situation. It's really an unfortunate, damaging situation in some ways. But ultimately, I think it's opened people's eyes to, you know, a little bit of a sketchy agenda going on within those two groups, despite their good work, that there's something wrong going on. And people are now aware of that. So I suppose that's probably good that people are right. A little more alert to what's going on.
Well, you know, and what gets me is things like this have happened to me before. And when, like, I have answered accusations or publicly called out people for doing things like this, then I'm the one that gets accused of being divisive.
Yes.
So have you found that in your...
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I know some of what's been done to you, and I'm not, you know, I know that someone like you, and I think some of these others that signed on to this letter of support for me, partly because, you know, I'm hoping perhaps you know of the work I've been doing all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, this is the same type of thing that was done against you.
Right.
You know, almost everybody... Especially once you, you know, become a bit prominent and you're really dedicated and really working hard and prominently, then there are all these sort of nasty campaigns that go on. And as you say, the bizarre thing is, even though we did not initiate this,
right,
we tried our best, you know, to head it off. Then, you know, the next attack as well. Look at they're being divisive. They're starting this when it's the exact opposite. And again, anybody that takes the time to look into this can find out the facts. Now, some people, I think, you know, some of these individuals have, you know, sort of, I think, very intentionally built, sorry, this is, I'll turn off
again. That's okay.
You know, they have built close relationships with people in this movement. And so good people trust them. They think these are friends. They think they're fully committed on Palestine.
Uh-huh.
And so they just take their word for things without looking into them. So, you know, some people that I think should know better and that I do think are committed to Palestine, some people of that sort are repeating them. And that's disturbing. That's disappointing. I guess it's not surprising. You know, they're always, that type of thing will go on and there will be, you know, people will have their own personal baggage, perhaps, or maybe they don't like me, or maybe there are different types of, you know, things going on with them personally. But overall, as I said, if people look into this open letter to the U.S. campaign that has, I believe, about 2,000 signatures, many, many very, very important, highly respected activists of all sorts, many people from within Palestine, many leaders within Palestine, have signed the statement of support for me. So, ultimately, anybody that looks into it sees what's going on, that these are accusations that are without foundation. They'll take something insignificant and blow it up. They'll take a statement out of context
right. And
make it appear to be something else. They'll also, what they do is, one of the things I do, and we do at If Americans Knew, that I think is especially our role, as I said from the beginning, my goal was to just give the information out as widely as we can. You know, I don't vet interviewers. For one thing, that would take a lot of time to have to look every time somebody right. Wants to review you. That would, you know, we don't.
Exactly, yeah, of course.
We can accomplish a lot because right. We're streamlined. We just do our work. Plus, if you quote vet people, then, you know, you always have to think, well, where do we draw the line? If I go on some show, does that mean I'm endorsing that show? You know, whereas this way, we're not endorsing any show. We're just giving the facts to those audiences. But they're trying to use that to say that I, quote, work with some, perhaps, you know, some conservative who interviews me. That means sometimes, you know, they try to say, well, whatever that person has said or believes or whatever they have on their website, I'm supposedly endorsing, which of course I'm not. What I am doing is reaching listeners who in many cases are being filled with lies about Muslims and about Arabs that are causing some of those listeners who listen to Fox News right. And certain types of radio shows to go out and actually physically attack Muslim Americans and Arab Americans. If I can get in front of that audience and tell them the facts about Palestine and the facts about Islam and the facts about what's really going on accompanied by my message, which is always I'm against violence. I believe that we all should treat one another with respect and compassion. I'm against all kinds of racism. You know, why would I not want to go before anybody and give that kind of information? So, you know, but the campaign and JVP is trying to say, oh, no, you're not allowed to do that. You know, you can only talk to, quote, you know, somebody like Amy Goodman.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, if everybody were listening to Amy Goodman, that would be one thing, but they're not.
So, and most people on Amy Goodman already know what you want to say.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's, so they're trying to silence you. I find, you know, this is really distressing in the movements across the board. I call it the, you know, the peace industrial complex, because
yes.
I think that, you know, there's some organizations, and you put it very beautifully, whether they do it intentionally or even consciously, you know, if these things, if wars ended, if, you know, the occupation of Palestine ended, then their reason for being and funding would end also.
That's, I think you're right, definitely. I like that phrase that you use. I mean, I'm at an age where I would, you know, thought I would be sort of retired and just enjoying my grandchildren.
Right,
and
for sure.
In the middle of perhaps the hottest political issue in the country, perhaps.
Right.
In the book, and then being attacked is
right.
not fun.
Right.
So
people who actually get to the root of the problem, I found, you know, sometimes we're not popular, but, you know, you do have a lot of support, and we're not in it. We're not in popularity contests. We're in very important death or life or death struggles. And so, and like you said earlier too, all of this stuff is wasting your time off of the answering all these accusations is distracting you. And that might be the very reason for them. But before we end the interview, which has gone way too fast, it's gone by way too fast. Tell my listeners about your book and tell us a little bit about why it sparked such vicious attacks against you.
Sure. It's available on Amazon. It's very easy to get on Amazon. It's both in hard copy and Kindle and even audio. It's inexpensive. It's under $10. It's called Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. And it tells about this movement within the United States that began in the late 1800s up through the creation of Israel that really targeted every sector of the United States for manipulation and then used that manipulation to create Israel. It's fully, I think the reason that they especially don't like it is it's fully cited.
Right.
Over 300 footnotes.
Wow.
So every statement in it, people can look into it. It can see my citation for it, it's all right there. And the strongest parts of it, in terms of the most shocking parts about Louis Brandeis, for example, comes from very, 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 very strong sources, from academic journals, from an Israeli historian, not even a new historian, you know, a mainstream Israeli historian. So this is very eye-opening information. On Amazon, the book is among a number of the bestseller lists.
Oh, good.
For Israel-Palestine, for some, you know, history even. It's doing quite well, mainly through word of mouth. Not a single mainstream kind of publication has reviewed it. Some very good online ones have. Philip Weiss, the Mondo Weiss, has decided to bury it themselves. They haven't talked about it.
Mm.
Amy Goodman, sadly, has not talked about it. Despite that, we've sold 19,000 copies.
Oh, good for you.
So it's getting out there.
Well, we'll definitely link it on the newsletter for this show. But Allison, If Americans Knew, is that the name of the, I mean, is that the URL for the website?
That is, ifamericansknew.org. That's it.
And we'll also share that. Well, Allison Weir, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. And thank you for sticking to your, I don't want to say guns because that's violent, but thank you for sticking to, you know, your principles and holding your head high and just moving forward.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'll send you a link when the show's up and you can share that if you like.
I would love to. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Allison. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye. Well, that's the soapbox for this week. I hope you were informed and inspired to further action. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar. I'd like to thank Allison Weir for her work and for taking time to be on Cindy Sheehan's soapbox this week. I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's soapbox. Peace out for now.